Everybody, welcome back to another No Regrets Marriage podcast. In fact, the
last
podcast of 2025.
Wow, that's hard to believe. So you're going to be hearing this. Well, you could hear it anytime. It's going to be being taped, or it's going to drop on the week between Christmas and New Year. So we are at the end of the year, and the last one we're taping for this year. Wow. All right, so how do we want to do this? You gonna break out?
I thought you were in charge. I think you're gonna. Carlos sing for us.
No. I thought you were gonna sing.
No. What would you like me to sing?
What you sang a minute ago.
That was "I Wish You Merry Christmas," but Christmas is past.
No.
Christmas is over. Christmas is over.
No, it's still this week of Christmas.
And a Happy New Year.
All right. Well, that was pretty good. That was not bad.
There you go.
They do not want me singing.
Do you want to add to that?
No, they do not. My children hang up when I try to call and sing happy birthday. So that's, yeah.
They've actually hung up on you?
Well, they're like, can you stop? So I'm like, okay, yeah, I can stop. So I wish I could sing. I do, but we don't.
Just maybe when you get to heaven.
I know. But I kind of wanted to sing here because I think everybody will be able to sing there. But anyway.
Oh, so you want to be different and special or what?
I knew you were going to go there with that, but anyway.
Pride goeth before the fall.
Yes, it does. All right, so we're at the end of the year.
We're at the end of the year. And so what we thought we'd do with this podcast, we've just gotten through with a 7-week series, and we've got something really special for the new year, at least to start off the new year. And that's going to be a two-part series episode, whatever you want to call it, a two-episode we can get that out, podcast that we did with an incredible couple, and their story is powerful.
It's powerful. Yeah, it's hard to come up with the word, but we hope you will continue to listen, and I think that will be really impactful.
Be really good, yeah. And we'll be talking more about that, but it's with Adam and Gina Blakely, and you know, I hope you will make sure and listen to those two podcasts.
Yes.
So what we thought we'd do with this podcast is we're going to take a look back.
Yep.
The past year, and then we're going to look ahead to 2026. And we really have no clue what either one of us is going to say.
Mean it. Well, yeah, because we don't. Well, we obviously don't know about 26 yet. So anyway.
But our bold predictions.
Yes.
Sort
of. There you go. Okay.
Really talk about maybe some trends maybe we're seeing in marriage, and we'll see where that goes. All right. Let's talk about the past year, 2026.
No, Johnny, it's
2025.
Oh, heaven.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm really jumping ahead.
Jumping
here.
Into the new year.
2025. What do you take away when it comes to marriage, both ours and trends? What are some things that you take away? Maybe what are something that surprised you, something you learned, something God taught you this year about marriage in general? Maybe some of the trends. What are some of the things that we saw is, you know, we were working with couples on marriages and such.
Wow. Okay. That was about three questions, I think. Okay.
We just want to make it wide open for you.
Okay. So, all right. The first question was 25, like what surprised me?
Yeah.
Is that
anything?
The question? I think that maybe I shouldn't even say surprise, but the reminder that as long as we are in this life and married, which we won't be married in the next one. So as long as we are here doing this journey, we are still going to struggle and fumble at times because we're sinners.
Yeah, I was really surprised by how many mistakes you made in this past year.
I did have some moments throughout the year. And I wish...
I'm kidding there, by the way.
No. I really did, though. And at times, it was both of us. Or maybe, probably, I instigated it. And then we would look at each other in a little bit and be like, can you believe we're still doing this? You know, after all these years, after what we know and God has taught us, and for the most part, what we're walking in, but man, how easy it is to just in our flesh, sinful hearts, just to mess up and get so irritated and mad with each other and just, you know,
yeah, it reminds me of author of Hebrews talked about, you know, that sin that just so easily ensnares or trips you up.
Yeah.
And it is, it's that reminder and, you know, good. It's a good thing because it keeps us humble, keeps us on our knees. It makes sure that we cover our marriage in prayer. But that idea that just, you know, just out of the blue.
Yeah.
Just a little thing, whether it be our selfishness, whether it be
something we disagree on. Yeah, I mean, you whatever.
Know, and little, and we can snap at each other still and do those things. Things that, you know, if it was when we first got married, I'd chalk it off to, well, we're just learning.
Yeah.
But we should know these things and we teach these things. And yet we still, if we're not careful, it's easy for the flesh to take over.
Yeah. So I would say that was kind of one thing that was, you know, just a reminder of just how easy it is to do that. Probably the question related to like couples. Probably what I would say is, I think maybe two things on that front. And this can be, this is sort of just an overall combination of couples that we're working with before they get married and then couples that are already married and we're working with coaching with them. I think it is amazing how much that our families of origin,
I know you're gonna say
our
that.
Families, not only that we grew up in, but that now we're still connected to, obviously, continue to have huge impacts on this new couple, this new family unit, I guess you'd say. And it's not that it's never all one way, usually, or the other. It's this learning this new dance that you have to do as a new married couple or an older married couple that are still struggling with, you know, in-laws, parents, and figuring out that adult-child, adult-parent relationship and how you can move into something that is healthy and good, but you honor each other's boundaries and things like that. And I think that's an area that we just see tons of struggles in. And so maybe if you'd asked me 3 years ago, I probably wouldn't have said that because I wouldn't have had the experience that we've now had to realize that's a very real challenge that a lot of couples have.
I think it's two different things you're talking about there.
I'm morphing two things.
Yeah, you are morphing two things. I think one, I think this is, and this is maybe surprised. I think, you know, in the years that we've been doing this and really focusing on marriage ministry, is the impact of family of origin.
Yeah.
Not talking about the adult parent, adult child
relationship.
Yeah,
that was two parts of it.
But I think the carryover.
Yeah.
That for a lot of us, and I'm sure as we go, if we look back in our marriage, we didn't realize until oftentimes there were issues or problems. And then you look back and you think, good gracious, I'm doing exactly what like my dad did.
Or whatever.
Or whatever like that. And there's so much. And I think that's something that couples probably don't realize is even going to happen.
Yeah. And so I think I think that would be something that was kind of surprising this past year in ministry. What was the third question?
Well, I'm going back to the second part of what
you
said.
Oh, I'm sorry. Second part.
Because I do think that that's one thing, and that's what we're learning along with so many others, is, boy, how do you navigate that adult-to-adult relationship with your adult children now?
Yeah. And
if you know, I'm sure if our kids were here, they could relate how many times we did not do it well.
Yeah, we would smack them off the microphone, though. We would not let them get on here and say that.
I would let you do that, guys.
I wouldn't.
And girls.
And, no, I'm teasing.
But it's just such a reminder that just like, you know, it's just like, you know, marriage itself, that it really does. It doesn't come with a manual that tells you how to do everything.
No, it doesn't.
Not to do everything right. And I know we got scripture. and we've got the principles of Scripture, and yes, we live by those. But as we always say, man, you can be a Christ follower and deeply in love with God and Jesus, and still not be a great communicator.
Yeah.
Or still not know how to love your spouse well, or still struggle with, you know, with intimacy and being vulnerable and opening yourself up to them. And, you know, all of those things that, man, we have to learn those relational skills. And just as we had to learn them with marriage and with each other, and it took us a long time for that. And just as, you know, I think of Kemper and Haley right now, and I think as they're getting ready to have their first child, and there's got to be a certain sense of fear in doing that. And thinking, you know, am I adequate to be a parent? Mm. And knowing that, you know, they're going to be awesome parents. But then just thinking that in 20 years from now,
oh yeah,
how that relationship is going to turn so different.
And
it's almost like you're having to learn all over again, man, how do I do my children?
Yeah. And you look, you think about, you make decisions, obviously, when they're at certain ages, and then you wonder later, gosh, I thought that was the best decision then, and that may look different, or you wish you could have done something different. And so the nuances of moving into that adult parent, adult child are really, I think, something, as we've said, that we found is a challenge a lot of places.
Yeah.
So what was the third question?
I have no clue. I think we talked about...
You were the questioner.
What's something that... Yeah, don't blame me.
Okay.
The idea is something that... So what did we learn? What are some things that surprised us?
Okay.
I don't know. You said before the funniest thing. I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, it was... I have to tell you all, and I'm so glad these things do not happen. Johnny says... the funniest are things he so wishes we captured on video.
Oh, gosh.
Which would not be allowed to be seen be me cutting the fool, as he likes to say. And I laughingly
told... There still may be one out there.
I laughingly told somebody that one day at work, and she said, I'd give anything to see that video, you cutting the fool. So, but I hope really doesn't come to light. But, no, we...
Secret
we mess
cameras.
Up, yeah, and we get tickled, and then we laugh. Then when we get kind of over that, we get really tickled about how stupid our mess up was. So I don't know. I was trying to think of the funnest thing or funniest thing that happened in the year. What would you say?
I really can't think of anything.
Nothing funny happened.
No, I don't know. I'm sure it did, but it just doesn't. It doesn't just come to mind. Maybe one of the most surprising things, and it's something I already knew, but it still amazes me. You know, I can think of, you know, we've been doing this for a while, and one of the reasons we got into it was because we believe there's such a strong need for it, an emphasis in marriage coaching and training and people how to do their marriage as well. And we knew what the statistics were that they've gotten about how many churches really aren't doing a whole lot. And I guess I still get surprised by that. And, you know, when we can think back to things we've done and people coming up to us and basically saying, man, I've really never heard that before.
Yeah.
And sometimes we even challenge us and we think, God, there's so many marriage ministries out there focused on the family and
big,
you know,
ones, yeah.
Wind Shape and big things and, you know, what Crew does with marriage and we think, God, there's no need for us. And yet it's a reminder that, you know, man, there's still so many people that really have never had anyone come and try to pour into them and help them get a better marriage.
Yeah. I guess if I would say, can we say what we're... Can we go move into what we're predicting or what was the
what do we think? And so we'll transition now. I'm looking at 2026, and I think what are some trends? What are some things that I think, and you can handle this however you want to, some things I think are surprising. I think some things that we're going to see in our culture when it comes to marriage, or you can talk about anything you want to. That's where I'm going to go.
Where you're going to go. Okay. Yeah. What I think, no, this is more of a hope, a desire, a prayer.
Okay.
As you said, we have really been shocked by, I'm just going to be kind of blunt with this, the lack of a lot of churches really pouring into marriages so that they can be the absolute strongest, healthiest they can be. Because a strong marriage helps equate to a strong family, which impacts your churches, which impacts your community, and therefore all the way out and your, you know, throughout the nations. And so I still am kind of surprised by that. My heart in this is, I think, and things I read and study, and the more I do read and study, is this sense that no generation, including ours, really, I think, embraces or understands the wonder of the marriage and what God intended when He created it. And I think when you think about it, that God created marriage as this image, this picture to represent Christ loving the church, this eternal, everlasting covenant. And we are to represent it in our marriages.
Yeah, we talk about that marriage, your marriage should be a portrait of the gospel.
Yeah, and I think part of why we can't totally grasp it at times, if you would, is because, one, it is such a God thing. I mean, God created it. God designed it. God declares a man and woman one. But God makes that happen. And it for believers to understand that their marriage is, like you said, to reflect that image of that covenant relationship between Christ and the church. And I think so many times we don't have that elevation of marriage and that it represents this picture of the gospel to the world like no other entity in all the world. Marriage is what God said. And He said it's this mystery because the marriage really represents that. And so for believers to settle for anything less, to treat it with any kind of, it's okay, whatever happens, have an okay marriage, survive it, make fun of it, belittle it, whatever, whatever.
We just got through doing the legacy series. And at the heart of that, I think, you know, one of the key things is this idea of to create a legacy family that we talked about. There has to be this understanding that what we're living in is temporal.
Right.
That we are citizens of another country, that Christ has called us to live in light of eternity. And we struggle enough with that is in our own individual lives. We're so focused on, now, you know, the daily things, you know, the
life.
Yeah, the daily struggles of life, your job, paying bills, doing that, all of that. That sometimes we lose sight of what God's called us to do and called us to be, and that's to be His partner in building His kingdom here. And we don't have that sense as individuals, and so if we don't have that sense as individuals, how the heck do we have that as a sense of our marriage?
Well, and I think that's where I go back to my heart, is that more churches would begin to get a glimpse of that and to realize that we want to elevate that and help couples. And that's why divorce and things that happen in marriage that destroy it, that is why it is such an atrocity, because it so misrepresents the gospel. God will never walk away from us. Jesus will never break the covenant. Mm. We may try to humanly in our marriages, and that's why it's so damaging. And so, but to understand that, I do think is sort of a spiritual insight that God gives us. And I think the more we know Him and the more we're growing, but I think things that we can do, we, you and I, our ministry, our hope, and that other churches and other ministries begin to say, man, this is what God has said is His picture representative here in this life. And so it's a representative because we don't need it in the next one.
Yeah, you go back all the way back to the beginning of Scripture, and it's so key, I think, that the crown of creation, so to speak, was the creation of man and woman in the image of God. And the first thing he does is, you know, he talks about that he created that idea of marriage. You know, a man shall leave his mother and father, cling to his wife. And so you have that there, that everything was built on that foundation. And I guess, you know, we've used this quote before, and it's on our website, I think, somewhere. You know, Gary Oliver talked about it. He says, hey, as go marriages, so go families. As go families, so goes the church. As goes the church, so go communities. As go communities, so go our nation.
Yeah.
And it's so fundamental and pivotal. And you can just look at it when you look at the state of marriage in our country today. So that brings me to sort of my things and some of the things. And these are, you know, one, we talked about in the past some of the trends that there are. It's sort of a combination of things. One, in some ways, divorces are lower, but that's also because marriages are lower. Nice. Fewer people are married.
Marrying, yeah.
And to me, one of the craziest things is, you know, and a lot of this came out, you know, in the aftermath of Charlie Kirk assassination, was, you know, where you heard a lot, and they will talk about how, you know, he appealed greatly to young men. And one of the crazier things you've seen, and you are seeing, is in, you know, in surveys that they're doing, this is both like from Barna and also from secular surveys, that this generation now, the Gen Z, that has been a total flip, and that guys, young men, their goal, their number one goals is to get married and have children.
Which is crazy.
And the flip is women don't want to do that in Gen Z.
That's double crazy.
Not saying that all of them, but a majority are saying they don't want to get married. They don't want to have children.
And when you again think about it, I mean, that again is a movement against what the creator.
All of creation order was.
All of creation order.
Absolutely.
And to some degree, if you think about it, if you get enough percentage of people in the generations that follow that do that, literally countries, societies would come to an end.
Well, here's the things that I think is so funny about this. And if you're a conservative out there, I hope this gives you hope, is the people that are where you're seeing families and the number of children increase and grow is in politically conservative families.
Interesting.
And it is in liberal, and this is in general, in liberal families. One, not getting married. More liberal women want to stay single. And they're not having children. And so one thing you're saying, I thought it was crazy, is something, listen, I was reading the other day, is, I wish I could remember who it was, but they were really making a push for all you liberals. You need to get married. You need to have kids. Because if you don't,
we're going to die
out. Our country's going to turn conservative.
Oh, my gosh. Well, if nothing else,
because
for
they're
to
the
keep
ones
your
having
party
children.
Alive.
No,
yeah.
It doesn't mean that. And on the other hand, you've got, you know, some group of liberals and those that are, especially in academia, which tends to be dominated by really far left liberals, who say, well, just wait till we get them, and then we will transform them into our image rather than what their parents have tried to teach them all
once
these
they
years.
Go to college. Okay,
yeah.
Got it.
And so, but, you know, that is the reality. And that's not just in this country, but you look in other countries, and it is conservative families, those who want to conserve traditional values, and especially in this country and some other countries, those values are based on biblical Judeo-Christian principles, those are the ones that are populating.
Well,
and having children.
You know, it is interesting when you just think about, you know, we don't know how long before Jesus comes back, whether it's 100 years or thousands of years. And so we don't know what the world will look like at that time. And it is sometimes scary when you think about what's ahead. But I think if you're listening to us, then hopefully you have an interest in marriage, in your marriage currently, or in what a marriage you hope to have one day, and or your adult kids, and you're concerned and wanting them, and you're wanting to learn, and you know, you're hoping for their marriages to be strong and healthy. And so I think, you know, I don't think God's going to let us start a wave, so to speak, but I think we're just going to be a pebble on the beach.
The butterfly effect.
Yeah. Yes, where, you know, our platform is only so big, and so our influence is only so much. But for every person, for every believing couple that says, we want our marriage to be every single thing God intends it to be, we want to elevate that. We want to experience the majesty of that because it is magnificent. And God created it probably to be far more than any of us really gather and get. And so I think when we think about, you know, I think all the time, you know, what picture are we giving people? Mm-hmm. And isn't it cool when you think about it too, that of all the things in the whole world that are different from country to country, state to state, region to region, one of the things as a human society is marriage and children. That goes across the world.
You don't have them. You don't have either of those.
Yeah. That goes across the world. And that's for generations in the past. And hopefully for generations to come that can still be impacted with that image of the gospel being presented and shown through our marriages. And so that's really my hope and prayer for 26, for us and for our ministry. I want to say this one thing that I want to thank you again from the bottom of my heart. If you follow us and listen,
I was going to say that, anyway, but you go right ahead and say it.
But please, this would be a great thrill to us if maybe you might share our podcast, share our ministry, the website, with one person, just one person, because we want to get a chance to impact as many people and marriages as God will let us. But sometimes that's just somebody finding out about us. And there are 1,000 other good sources too. So if you've got other things you want to share with them, go for it. But that might be our ask at the end of this year and moving into the new year, that you'd share it with one person.
I'm asking for more.
Greedy.
We do thank you for, yeah, I echo what Carla said. Thank you so much that if you've been part of this No Regrets Marriage, both the podcast and the ministry we have. Thank you so much for those of you who pray for us.
Thank you for
those who financially support us. And man, I'm going to ask you again, because I think the coolest idea is that everybody who's been part of this ministry in some way, whether through prayer, buying our book, contributing financially to the ministry, you are partners in what we do. And you may not be the one that speaks to the couple. You may not be the one that's doing the podcast or the video, but you are our partners in doing that. And any rewards that we receive from God for the ministry they do, you're going to get part of those rewards.
Absolutely.
And so we do. We do ask. This is a nonprofit ministry. It is all supported. That makes
all
sense.
All supporters supported.
That makes sense. Yeah, it is supported primarily by the gifts from you people out there. And so we do pray that you would. And I hope you'll pray about it. And that if God would lead you to give and support our ministry, especially end of the year, a lot of people think towards that, tax deductible, so we'll throw that in, then we would love it. And you can go to our website and learn how to do that. The other thing is, you know, I still think, and we see value in the book we wrote, the devotional book. And, you know, how awesome would it be that for everybody who listens to our podcast or somebody that knows our ministry, that for every couple you know that's getting married, and a lot of you could be your own kids, you're seeing grandkids get married, friends, man, give them that devotional book as a marriage gift. You can do something else too, but man, what a great way to give that couple a really strong head start to building a really solid, healthy marriage that honors God. So again, hey, thanks for being part of the No Risk Marriage Ministry. We're so excited. We look forward to see what God's going to do with this ministry. Wherever you are in your marriage, man, know this, that our past does not define us, and the future is wide open. And that God, whoever, if you have what is an awesome marriage, God wants to make it better. If you have a good marriage, God wants to make it great. If you're in a place where you're just starting out, man, now's the time to lay that foundation. And if you're maybe somewhere that you're really struggling, man, get help to help get your marriage healthy to be what both you and what God wants it to be. So until then, man, we look forward to an awesome 2026. We give God thanks for this 2025. And, man, we're going to join you, and we're going to keep on forging.